With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Hi, I'm Paul Mitzi.
I'm Lucy Thomas.
And I'm Brendan Levi. Why do I always come in third?
Because you're the least important. And we are the Swapcast podcast.
Because girls and gays rule.
Every episode we watch an entry in the body swap movie genre and break it down for you. Except today, because it's time for another tenuous swap episode. So on our main show, each of us will always recommend a piece of media that is tenuously linked with the film we review on that episode. So now we have forced one of our co-hosts to watch one of our recommendations. So today we'll be looking at the 90s teen cult classic TV series, My So-Called Life, the Netflix original series, How to Sell Drugs Online Fast, and the Jesse Eisenberg starring indie, The Art of Self-Defense. As always, we love to hear from our listeners, so slide into our DMs on Insta, send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com, or chuck us a review on iTunes so we can get to 100 reviews and do an episode on Face Off already.
He said hi.
That was not high.
That was high.
That was a different high.
It was a he wants to get to know you high.
From someone who never talks to me, has never talked to me, would never talk to me.
Except now he thinks you're put out, so he talks to you.
See, I told you that no was good.
Rianne!
For our episode today, first up the ranks is myself. I was given the 1994 ABC original series My So-Called Life by Lucy, who recommended it on our And You Thought Your Parents Were Weird episode.
How did that connect?
So one of the main characters was...
Rayanne Graff, right?
Yeah. Rayanne was the girlfriend in And You Thought Your Parents Were Weird.
So. I can remember when we were watching that movie and I was just, you know, sitting there, you know, when you're just trying to figure it out. I'm like, who is this? Why? And then it like hit me all of a sudden and I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, I get to recommend My So-Called Life. Hell yes.
But she played such a different character in And You Thought Your Parents Were Weird. Like she played like a goody two shoes, like nice girl, and in this she's like a drug addict, alcoholic. Yeah. My So-Called Life follows the character of Angela, played by Claire Danes, as she navigates growing up, new friends, and a crush on the hottest guy in school, Jordan Catalano, who is played by a young Jared Leto.
So normally when we get someone to watch a TV show for the tenuous, we just get them to watch the amount of episodes that equal a movie. Did you do that or did you go all in and just finish it?
So My So-Called Life has 45-minute episodes and there's 19 of them. I got through 14 of them.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Amazing. You didn't have to do that. But also, I can't believe you don't know how it ends. And I have to, like, hold that inside now. Yeah. I'm going to, like, cross out all my notes now.
Yeah, I'll probably finish it in the next week or so. I'm doing another spot on the Hunting Seasons podcast, so I have to binge another show by Thursday. Whoa. But once that one's done, then I will go back to this. Why did you recommend this show to me?
You've seen everything, but you haven't seen this. And also, I love it, and I wanted you to have seen it and to love it as well, maybe?
Like, this show was definitely on my radar. Like, I've heard about it in the zeitgeist. A lot of people talk about it. I know, like, Jordan Catalano is like a cultural icon.
A state of
like,
mind, yeah.
Yeah, the Jared Leto character. And some reviewers I follow are obsessed with the show. So I've always meant to watch it. And then when it showed up on Disney Plus, I added it to my list. So I am glad that you kind of spurred me to actually start watching it. Because sometimes when there's so much new TV content, it's hard to go back and start something old.
Yeah.
Older.
Claire Danes was like, fuck you, dude.
But yeah, no, I did enjoy my so-called life.
Cool.
Like, I can see a lot of its DNA in a lot of shows we watch now.
Totally.
Especially, I don't know if either, I doubt Brendan is, but I don't know if you've started watching.
I'm already offended.
I don't know if you started watching Love, Victor, Lucy.
No. Oh, right. I know what it is though, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I feel like that show really takes a lot from this one, especially in the fact that, yes, it's based around like a 15-year-old girl main character, but I'd say her and her parents probably have equal screen time in the show. Like it really weighs heavily towards those parent characters. And I'm guessing that was because this was a primetime TV show, so they wanted it to be a show that a whole family could maybe watch together, I'm guessing.
Which nightmare. I would not have wanted to watch this.
Yeah,
and Dad.
I feel like that would be awkward as fuck. But,
is that why they only got one season?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Like, obviously, I've seen it through multiple times, but when you said how many episodes there were, Paul, that seems crazy to me. Why was that one series? That,
like, yeah, I guess it just didn't get the ratings.
But that's a huge amount of episodes. I can't believe they didn't break it up. That's nuts.
No, well, that's how – it's actually short. On ABC, a average season length used to be 22 to 24 episodes.
And 45-minute episodes?
Yeah.
Jeepers.
Yeah, that's what TV used to be like.
The good old days. I love when there's so many episodes just to take care of you and just send you off to – yeah.
Yeah, I think what this show really does well is it really – captures what teenagers are actually like. It's played by actual teenagers and it lets them be annoying and stupid and make irrational decisions and act like kids, act like teenagers. I think when you watch shows like the reboot of Gossip Girl or Elite or any of these like teen shows, oh, like Riverdale especially. It's like a whole bunch of...
What even is Riverdale?
Yeah, it's like a whole bunch of adults like having orgies and doing like things that are not kids' things week to week. This felt of a different time and a different...
You know, you don't know what these generations are up to, man.
It's a bit more Degrassi Junior High than it is Riverdale or Euphoria.
Like I have to say... Like, because of that, like, especially the two kind of boys in the love triangle, if you even want to call it that, Jordan Catalano and
Brian
Krakow, they just come out. I just hated them. They just are constantly assholes, say the wrong thing every time. And I know this is what kids are actually like, but I just wanted to, like, scream at the TV at them.
And I feel like they don't get enough shit. Like, I feel like the temperature on that behavior has really changed, and those boys would be getting canceled in high school for shit like that.
What do they do?
Well, I just watched the episode where Jordan Catalano breaks up with her because she won't have sex with him. And he's just an awful person.
Yeah.
And this is before when they started dating out.
Someone spread a rumor about them.
That's how it starts. Sex.
And he's like, well, everyone already thinks that, so let's just do it. And she's just like, cool, romance?
And then when they do start doing stuff, he like hides it from everyone and forces, like they literally go into the basement in the school and make out and then pretends to everyone that they're not together, and she just accepts it for a long time.
I truly hold this show, like, I want to write down this speech. I hold this show personally responsible for me accepting way too much shit from dudes in my 20s. Mm-hmm. Just like the audacity of dudes to like be like, I don't know if I like her, when it's like they don't have a car or a bed frame or like manners or like hygiene or just anything. And it's like the audacity. Yeah. It's just like, I just want to go back in time and, you know, play Truth Hurts by Lizzo to myself and just be like, this fucking clown shoes, like, oh, it makes me so mad.
So does it like romanticize this aspect?
Completely. Yeah. And like, yeah. The first time I watched it, the Jordan Catalano character, the Jared Leto, who, Leto? I'm not doing that, is... the first time I watched it, I completely was in love with him.
Fell in love,
like,
yeah.
That guy, I know I say this all the time, but like, I definitely had a crush on that kind of guy and dated that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like mortifying.
This is where I'm interested to see where the show ends, because up to this point, all he's done is consistently treated her like shit every episode, and she's obsessed with him, and the show has not punished him for it at all. And it seems to be going in a trajectory where they're going to end up together as like the final couple. I'm just really curious to see where this ends up.
Yeah, I really wish you had somehow managed it. I know it's a big ask, but I wish we could talk about the end. But that's, will be like, we'll have a little party when that's the time.
But yeah, it's a really like amazing time capsule. The music and the clothes and the cultural references.
The moment when she's like lying on her bed moping and it's Dreams by the Cranberry, and like her mum comes in and was like, can we turn this down? Like, I need to talk to you. That is my like religion. I just, everything about that, it, like the flannelette shirt she's wearing and the way she's like, slumped on her bed. I just love it so much. It's so perfect.
Yeah. Everything about this film screams Lucy Thomas.
His film, TV show.
TV show.
And also, do you just love, I feel like Jared Leto would be really embarrassed, like, now. The fashion that they put him in, I feel like he comes out the worst. There's really wide leg man jeans and like big ill-fitting jackets. It's like everyone else is kind of, the fashion that they are wearing is definitely of today.
Ryan's like hippie dresses and stuff.
Dude, you got it. Gross. Yeah, they're gross, but there's definitely like, you walk around the streets around my house in the city, there's some of that going on for sure.
Oh, no.
Was it Rayanne?
Rayanne. Her mom's like super floopy. So, yeah, Rayanne.
I want to join in. I want to judge people's clothes.
Yeah. You should watch her. I'd be interested to know what you think.
Oh, geez. She looks like she's from like the cast of Cats or something.
The funny thing about this show is like, obviously Jared Leto was stunning at the time. Like, he's a very beautiful person. And you can see
aesthetically,
yes. And then the other guy is her like best friend, Brian Krakow, who's like a nerd.
But they're not even best friends. She kind of hates him. He's literally the boy next door.
The boy next door, she relies on him for everything and then treats him like shit. But like, he's like the nerd that everyone thinks is a loser. And now you look at what they've grown into, and Jared Leto now, and the actor playing him now has definitely aged a lot better, I have to say. He's like a surfy documentarian look guy who like travels around to these tropical locations without a shirt.
And Jared gave us 30 Seconds to Mars.
And looks like a cracky now. So,
isn't he a cult leader or something?
He's just a mess. He's just a mess. So, you know, I hope that Angela ended up choosing Brian, but I guess we'll see.
I love, you remember in that, I think it's called Bachelorette, maybe? You know, the one Rebel Wilson and Isla Fisher and that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Lizzie Kaplan goes, you know, she talks about the Brian Krakow versus Jordan Catalano debate, and she's like, you know, you want to end up with the Brian Krakow. Like, Brian Krakow's going to go down on you for hours. And it's like, and Jordan's going to be really bad in bed. Like, it just, yeah. I wish I could do the whole speech because it's so, like, yeah, that guy. Like I said to you, Paul, when you started watching it, I think it was something like, you know, that guy would still be trying to get his band off the ground now and, like, be on the dole and have, like, an occasional ice habit. And that's just not cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, overall, I would recommend watching My So-Called Life. I really enjoyed it. Was it better than And You Thought Your Parents Were Weird? Definitely.
Thank God.
how would you like looking at this and looking at something like Sex Education, like, because I feel like that's very much a team-focused show.
But also Sex Education has that thing of it's like, it's high school, but it's not like everyone's only having weird, awkward sex in high school, and like that's it. It's like, you know what I mean?
I think Sex Education has a bit more substance to it than this. I would say like the equivalent on TV right now is Love, Victor, which is another show I do enjoy and watch. So I would put it on par with that.
I kind of thought as well. Never Have I Ever. There's that sort of, should I date the nerd or the jock? And like, but obviously it's less humor. But some of the themes are similar.
Every one of us has the sum total of human knowledge in our back pocket. We can become famous with just one click. We could change the world without even leaving our bedroom. The technological possibilities are endless. And what do we do with it? Face swap. No one tries to be different anymore. Why bother? Because online, you can pretend your life is really exciting when, in reality, well...
Oh, shit.
So, because I don't join in, I'm an outsider. Which is fine by me, because, after all, everyone who's successful now started out as a nerd with no friends. People think guys like us are just losers until one day everything clicks and we show them. Nerd today, boss tomorrow.
Next up is Brendan. He was given the 2019 Netflix original series How to Sell Drugs Online Fast by me. I also recommended it on our And You Thought Your Parents Were Weird episode.
Oh, go figure.
In the series, a teenage boy, Moritz, along with his best friend, Lenny, create an online drug dealing website in an attempt to win the affections of Moritz's ex-girlfriend. But soon, the two boys find themselves way over their head. So I recommended this TV show to Brendan because I had actually, outside of the podcast, told him to watch it, and he didn't seem like he wanted to because it was a German language series.
Burn.
And I think this show is super fun, and I really wish more people have watched it because I feel like the premise is like has a lot of appeal to it. There's a lot of humor. It's really creative the way that it's been like made and written. And yeah, I feel like the subtitles is what holds a lot of people back from actually giving it a chance. So, Brendan, were you glad that I recommended this show to you?
That made it sound like I don't like watching things with subtitles.
Don't you?
I do like watching things with subtitles. Like, I just find, like, I find myself watching a lot of things at like 10 or 11 o'clock at night. You know what I mean? Like, and...
Preach.
That's not the time to be like reading. Like and especially something like, so the reason I'm jumping all over the place, but I'll focus on the question. The reason I hadn't got around to this one, and also there's two reasons actually.
So let's get back to the beginning.
So the first one is that it's a comedy, and that's one of those things that I'm always worried that a comedy, like in another language, the inflections, the material, the cultural differences, like, am I going to have a good time? Am I going to laugh out loud? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so this is definitely like has comedy elements to it. It's like, you know, it has sort of like this mix of Breaking Bad and Silicon Valley, if you've mm-hmm. seen those two.
That's a great sell. I love that.
Well, he didn't sell it with that.
Yeah, I was congratulating you.
But yeah, I did actually really enjoy it. Because it was automatically on the dub version. I've been watching it in the dub version.
Look.
And may I say, we watched a pretty... I watched a pretty trashy version. What was that Mexican swap film we did from Amazon?
Locos el Locos por el cambio.
Yeah, that's right.
That one. Yeah. Yeah. That dub was horrible. But this one, they've done like a really good job.
You're the only one that watched it on a dub. <I know. laughs>
By accident, again. but no, like, I find myself really laughing a lot with the show. The second reason is Paul read a sort of a pilot script for a TV series I've written, and he's like, this show is really similar to the show that you've written. You should watch it. And I'm like, why do I want to see something that just ruined hours of work? Not hours, days of work, whatever. Anyway.
Did you find that it was similar to the thing you wrote?
Yeah. And it was frustrating when it hit notes that I was looking at characters and I'm like, oh, that's my character.
So you watched the whole first season or?
Yeah, I did. And I accidentally was late to this because I was watching the second season. So I'm still going with it. I'm digging where the second season's going. Although I hate the main character. He is.
But
just,
I think you kind of have to.
You have to.
You're meant to.
But why do we have to follow him? This is where I'd say, in Silicon Valley, I can't remember. I think it was Josh or whatever.
Richard.
There you go. Thank you.
I have a major Jones for him, so I'm gonna.
He is a pushover, and I feel like they're similar personalities. But one, we have someone who's trying to be ethical in a disgusting, dangerous world, and the other, same sort of scenario, but he's a selfish tool of a teenage boy. So, yeah. But it's still a good watch. I'd still have a good time.
So I think similar to my so-called life, I think this film does represent kids and what they're like pretty accurately. I think the main characters are obviously extremely skilled at being hackers and computer programmers and stuff, which I don't know how realistic that is.
I don't know. I don't doubt teenagers are pretty crazy on the internet.
But their motivations for what they do seem pretty genuine.
Basically, I haven't felt anything's been
He creates this drug empire essentially just to impress an ex-girlfriend because she starts dating this really hot guy that kind of deals drugs on the side.
Small times, yeah.
So then he's like, I'm just going to become the biggest drug dealer on earth to kind of counteract this.
Is this the prequel to Breaking Bad?
But it's very much I think another inspiration that Brendan didn't mention is The Social Network. I think is something
actually,
that
really, that relationship between the two main characters.
That
for sure.
ties
yeah.
in with what I've got to talk about.
Yes, exactly. So, Brendan, do you think this is a show that Lucy should give a go to?
Well, she liked the plug, and I like I said, if you enjoy, I think you could say also there's an element of weed, just that thing of someone who's trying to build a drug empire while maintaining a normal life, and how
you say there's that
impossible.
Element of weed, I'm a stoner, that's why I would
weeds,
enjoy it.
Weeds, weeds, the show Weeds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
what?
Yeah, I feel like it has broad appeal, so I definitely think Lucy should give it a go as well.
Well, you know, if you're recommending the dub, that makes it easier to watch.
Yeah, because it is my thing of just being quite a tired person a lot. And, you know, yeah, I haven't really been challenging myself with what I choose to watch. Like, Adrian and I still haven't seen Parasite. Like, we're very bad. Parasite, I need to, that ties in with my thing again. I got a lot to say.
But, yeah, so, like, the dub apparently is good. Only half an hour episodes and
six episode seasons.
It's a light enough tone that it never feels like a slog to get through. It's like, even though like it does deal with heavy stuff, it's always in a very like fun way. I really want more people to discover the show. I think it's just like, whenever I hear people say like, there's nothing on Netflix, I've watched it all. And then they've not given any of these foreign shows a try. It always frustrates me because I think the foreign shows on Netflix are probably the strongest at the moment. Like this, between this and Elite, like I'm just hooked. So.
Well, there's this other German one that I started watching, but like I said, I was watching the subtitle version, and it was very Twin Peaks with time travel and
dark.
I was into it, but I just like trailed off because I was like so. Found it so hard to concentrate on what was going on, and there's so many characters, and I might try to go back and watch the dub if like this is the quality of the dubs.
Paul was like screaming internally.
So do you think that this was better than And You Thought Your Parents Were Weird?
Tough call.
Please tell me yes.
it was just so hot. No, yeah, it was better.
Yeah, good. I think this is like the most positive you've been about anything I've recommended to you on one of these.
I agree. Well done.
Should try it.
Listening to music?
I'm learning German.
German? That's very international of you. You may want to start on those reports, though. That pile is getting awfully high, and I don't want you to feel obligated to come into the office over the weekend. Hey, Maggie asked me if you wanted to come over for dinner. What do you say?
Stop trying to be my friend. Bosses cannot be friends. It doesn't work that way. Instead of coming over to your house for dinner with you and your wife this weekend, I think I'll stay home and masturbate to the thought of your wife wearing her bathing suit at the barbecue.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And finally, we have Lucy. She was given the film The Art of Self-Defense by Brendan, who recommended it on our Christmas trade episode somehow.
Yeah, I was going to say, what?
Actually, I did just listen to it.
I'm surprised you found it.
Yeah, so the way he did it was he said
motherfucker. That
there's a montage in the movie, and one of the months in the montage may have happened during the month of December, which is when the Christmas trade was set. Fucking hell.
That's the best one. I don't remember that. But that's
I've done great. Yourself, sir. Okay. You got to say, sorry. I got so much to say, Paul. You've got to get all this out.
Montage,
I'm like
by the way?
Bursting.
In the film, after being attacked on the street, a young man enlists at a local dojo led by a charismatic and mysterious sensei in an effort to learn how to defend himself from future threats. So, Brendan, why did you recommend this movie to Lucy?
Because she's raising a young lad and this film's all about... Oh, wait.
That's a hate crime. Why did you do that to me? That's why?
I don't know. I just thought you'd enjoy it.
Lucy, do you think this is a film you would have ever watched without this recommendation?
Potentially. Comedy thriller is the genre that Netflix said that it was. Mm-hmm. And that I was like, ooh. So I made Adrian watch it with me. Because we, we were like, yay, Friday night, like movie night. Yay.
So what did you think?
I hated it so much. This is the worst. This is the least I've liked something. Yeah, you certainly did. And I all weekend have kept on meaning to like message you, Brendan, and be like, can you just tell me the movie that you did recommend this to? Like, I wanted to go back and listen to what you said about it. Because sometimes I just have this huge fear that I'm very stupid and that everybody knows it and like that I just don't pick up on things and basically I just think I'm a piece of shit. So I was just like, maybe I'm just not smart enough and blah, blah, blah. And like, I even went on the internet and, you know, there is a lot of love for this movie. Mm-hmm. What? Why?
So I watched it as well, and I
be the swing vote. Oh my god!
I liked it. I liked it, but I was watching it, and I was like, "What was going through Brendan's head when he recommended this to Lucy?" Like, it's not a film I would have ever. Out of all the films on your list, this is not the one I would have recommended to Lucy.
And I can handle violence. Like, I'm not a baby. I'm not a prude. I just didn't like this.
I just thought it'd be a good conversation to have everyone watch it.
I Googled.
Because it's literally like I had no one else in my life who's watched this. And I'm just like, I want two people to talk to
Katrina
about it.
Katrina didn't cozy up to you on the couch on a Friday night after a hard week and go, Dave, let's put on a little Jesse Eisenberg. I looked up a bunch of reviews. A caricature of toxic masculinity that watches like a navel-gazing mumblecore fight club. Boom. That's a...
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's to me, it's like if you got The Lobster and you got Fight Club and mashed them together, you would get this film.
I just felt so uncomfortable the way that all the speech was really stilted. It just made me feel like, I don't know, it was like an alien had written it, like, this is how humans talk. I know how humans talk, and it just didn't feel, nothing felt natural. It just made me feel so mad.
Yeah, the director, I was reading an interview, and he said the reason it's written that way is because he wanted to present a world where everything was black and white and there's no shades of grey. So everybody just says exactly what they're thinking with no nuance. So like there's, you know, some like frat bros at the office and they're having a conversation and it's like, I really like missionary sex. Yeah, that's a really good sex position. And it's like everybody just talks like that. It is.
But it was a really odd choice. And I don't think I didn't go, oh, I can see what the director was wanting to there to be no shades of gray. I'm just like, I feel like, I don't know. It's like a million insulting things I want to say that I don't know how it to come. I don't know for it to come out.
I'll say this: I didn't think you'd hate it. I really had no idea, but like I said, I just really wanted to
talk about it.
Yeah.
What did you think about what it had to say about toxic masculinity, Lucy?
I just think that a lot of movies have dealt with that a lot better.
At least did you laugh at the ending, how he took over the dojo?
No. Adrian laughed when he broke that guy's arm.
Yeah.
And I laughed when he got the custom-made belts and he was wearing a yellow belt.
So you could be a yellow belt
all the time
in his everyday life.
Yeah.
It's like they were mean to a dog in it. Like, this is, I have no.
One thing I always appreciate is the female character in this film. She's played by Imogen Poots. And I always like when she shows up in a film because it reminds me that her name is Imogen Poots. And I also enjoy saying Imogen Poots.
I feel like she probably loves you saying that. Well done.
Like, I've been a little busy, so I haven't actually got back to watch it and to be prepared for this conversation.
When was it made? So I really don't know how to defend it. What is the chronology in Eisenberg's career? I feel like this is a very odd choice. Like, did he get nominated for an Academy Award for The Social Network?
Yeah, this is 2019. So this is only a couple of years ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because it is a period piece. It's they never say explicitly, but...
But it feels like
It's set in the 90s, I'm guessing.
Mm. And the sensei, just to deflect and talk about anything else, is he a voice actor? His voice, I'm sure...
No.
Really?
He's you know, remember Jurassic Park 3?
Not really.
Jurassic Park 3, he's like the guy in it that's like Grant's assistant. And when Grant falls asleep on the plane and the raptor in his dreams, like, Alan, it's him.
Yeah, I think you're a lot more invested in this little tidbit than me.
It's a classic scene when in the Jurassic Park franchise where a dinosaur says an English word. How could you forget this unforgettable moment?
Because Jurassic Park 3, it's not a classic. So after we watched this, Adrian and I were so like, well, cool, it's 11 o'clock at night and now we are supposed to go to sleep? Like, so we watched a double episode of The Office to like cleanse the soul. I really didn't like it.
I'm really sorry.
The last thing I wrote is all caps, Brendan, why have you done this to me? Why?
I love that his only defense is I'm really sorry. Like, it's like there's nothing there.
I love as well, like, his link is so far out and random. You must have really wanted to recommend this movie and talk about this
movie. I think it's really good. I really had a good time with it.
Yeah,
it's
I guess I am just stupid. I love that, you know, how Brendan's like, well, you're wrong if you know, like, that I'm like, I'm broken. Like, my brain didn't
interpret this.
No. We've just talked about that before. Like, I always think that if people don't have the same opinion as me, that it means they hate me. So I guess I'm doing that in this instance, whereas you're like very strong in your conviction of like, well, I like it, so you're stupid. But I'm stupid.
I don't feel bad about myself, but I do feel bad I ruined your night. That actually makes me feel bad.
Adrian said he even had a weird dream.
I just feel like watching this film, I think it's a film you're either on its wavelength or you're not.
Yeah, and I'm not. And Paul, that dog will never forget that you like this movie. That poor sausage dog knows what you did.
Yeah, I did feel awful for the dog.
Yeah.
I did feel awful for the dog.
Yeah, and you should.
And that's the thing. This film, like, as far removed from reality it is, it does really make you feel things in, like, it does get a visceral reaction out of you because it shows some like shocking stuff and like the way how callous and cruel some of the characters are. And you're basically watching a person being stripped of his humanity in order to appear more heteronormative.
Yeah.
Like it's about toxic masculinity in that way and how it can like strip away who someone really is just so that they can fit in like a gross society.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that the best thing I liked about it was what you just said now. I understand, like, that was a very insightful little paragraph.
Yeah. I'm doing the legwork for you, Brendan.
Thank you.
That film I didn't come away from it feeling that. Like, I didn't. I was just like, I'm upset. And it was just a weird choice all around.
Have you seen The Lobster?
No.
Probably don't. If this is your reaction to this, then probably don't.
What else has the lobster guy done?
Killing of the Sacred Deer.
And The Favourite.
Right.
Building on what Paul says, because the scene that like I remember being very like upset for was the scene of when he gets attacked in the parking lot, and that particularly, I don't know, just really sat with me because just the feeling of helplessness and such, and how that gets spun. It, you know, through going to this karate class and gets turned into something like gross. Like, and like, if you're not on the wavelength of the film, that's totally cool. But I've and you've said like there are other movies that do this sort of parable, if that's what you want to call it. But for people who are on different wavelengths, it's cool that they have that in a way that really, you know, hits them. You know what I mean? Like, so at least from that perspective, I hope you would say that's nice. It exists.
Cool.
She doesn't.
No.
Honey, I love you, and I say this with all sincerity, but no.
So here's the question: did you like it more than Christmas Trade?
One is Christmas Trade?
The one Baldwin? With the Baldwin brother with the enchanted Denise Richards? Bear?
In yeah. Denise Richards? No, I liked that more.
Oh, no. That was a piece of shit.
Yeah. No, right. This movie was not for me. And I'm stupid. I like Christmas Trade, you know?
I'm sorry.
Brendan's the clear loser of this episode. And I'm the winner.
Yeah. I feel so, yeah.
All right. So, next tenuous swap. Can we turn this around?
Well, I mean, you guys did well. You guys were happy.
Yeah. So I've got Lucy next. Can I turn her mood around? Lucy, I'm guessing after, you know, how oppressively dark this film was, you want it something a bit lighter next time? So whatever. I think I'm...
Uh-oh.
So... I'm going to recommend you a comedy.
Assassin 33 AD.
No. and one that I'm sure is chock full of people that you love, based on one of your all-time favorite shows of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be recommending the SNL spin-off movie, It's Pat the Movie.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I should have seen it, really. Should have seen it already.
So do you know much about Pat as a character?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see what you think of it. Your first time ever watching this like all-time classic. So.
Yeah, and I am really scared of how to talk about that movie.
Yeah, yes. That's what I was thinking. Like,
yep.
I remember Why our conversation about me? Body.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, like, people talk about, oh, yeah, no, that they'd never be able to make that film anymore. I think this is like the ultimate version.
Test case.
Of that.
Yeah, right. Cool.
So, yeah, that should be an interesting combo.
Yeah.
Lucy, after the gift that Brendan gave you this week, what are you returning to him?
Well, I thought she was great in this, so it's not a like a punishment, but it is a hard watch and like tit for tat. I'm recommending I Smile Back with Sarah Silverman.
Nice. Okay. I like Sarah Silverman.
Mm.
Will I like this? Is she funny?
No. This is like she should have like got more acclaim for this. Yeah, she really pushed herself, I feel.
Yeah. So just straight drama, not even...
Yeah, not that I can remember. I saw this movie at the cinema as well. Yeah.
Because I feel like what have I seen her in that's not... Take This Waltz, but I guess she plays a comedic character.
Is that with Michelle Williams?
Is she from Dawson's Creek?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, full bush.
Yeah. There was other things to that film besides seeing her bush.
That's a joke from something else. I think in the roast, someone said that about Sarah Silverman. about that movie, yeah, and they related it to politics or whatever. It's like, you know, Sarah's got a lot of political views, but in this movie, full bush. I don't know, something like that.
I remember listening to an interview with her when she was talking about how she was very conscious about that scene. And then, she tells the story, so I don't feel like I'm, like, embarrassing her. And how can I embarrass her? Who am I? But, like, she was talking about how, shaved or whatever. And then, like, the director was like, we can see your lips. And it's like, what? And she was like... So embarrassed. And anyway,
so she had to wear a merkin.
Yeah, maybe. I think I can't.
Or did it grow back that quickly? Like a couple of days. Anyway,
enough about Sarah Silverman's bush.
Well, I was going to say the last film I watched Sarah Silverman in, I definitely didn't laugh at anything in, which was Space Jam, A New Legacy. But anyway, what are you making me watch, Brendan?
Well, I wanted to give you something fun, but I feel like if Lucy has to feel miserable, I should really just...
She's not going to feel miserable. I gave her, it's about the movie. It's going to be a fun laugh riot.
Anyway, I think for you, Paul, I'm going to get you to watch... Oh, it's so hard because all these are really good films. I choose really good films. I'm going to get you to watch The Infinite Man.
Okay, cool. So that's the Australian time travel movie.
South Australian.
Wow.
Which we're
local
from.
Local content.
Local content.
And what am I good doing again? It. I've already forgotten.
It's Pat the movie.
It's Pat.
How can you forget?
Because I want to. Are we done here?
Well, I have to do like the finishing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just have a thing and I don't know if you want to include it in this or if you want to do it in a main episode.
No, you can do it.
It could be this little, this little segment that only comes up every now and then, but the patron saint of this podcast, Melora Hardin. This is, Melora Hardin, double hot.
I can't keep track. I thought she was the ambassador of hotness or something.
Well, is she? Is she the patron? No, what is it?
No, she's everything to us.
Okay, so like a Melora moment. Would that be now or would that be main episode?
No, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay,
play
so
the,
Melora,
play the soundtrack
moment.
For the...
Yeah. Do what?
Melora. Do no, okay.
Melora moment.
It's time for another Melora moment. Okay, I've been so excited I didn't want to forget about this. So have you guys been watching that show on Netflix, The Movies That Made Us?
No.
Okay, so they just do these classic movies and you kind of find out cool, like, behind-the-scenes stuff or whatever. And, you know, they do, like, Forrest Gump and you cry 50 times and Home Alone and you're like, oh, that was so fun. And anyway, they did Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if this is of interest and I'm sure Paul already knows it, but I didn't and I consider myself, like, I love knowing the trivia and the whatever. So, you know the way they shot 6 weeks of Back to the Future with Eric Stoltz and he was like sucking hard, so they had to change it. Melora Hardin was going to be the love interest and she got recast. She got recast because when they put Michael J. Fox in, he was too, like,
too
she was
small?
Too tall next to Michael J. Fox and they didn't think it was a realistic love match. So the only reason she lost out was because Michael J. Fox was too short. Isn't that mind-blowing?
Like, sucks for her, but...
Yeah, I know. You'd be like, fuck you.
Could you imagine it without Michael Fox, though?
Yeah, of course. Eric Stoltz, like, that's a bummer. Can you actually imagine what it would have been like to live his life for the next 5-7 years or whatever? I mean, like,
so the original the original version of that character, that was Elizabeth Shue, right?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Or was it Elizabeth Shue in the second
one? No, she was in the second one.
Yeah, she gets recast. So, sorry, but, like, that woman's not really a name. They have her in the in the show, and I don't recognize her. She was such a Betty, though. She was so beautiful, that the girl that they recast, but then maybe not the greatest actress because they recast her. Anyway, so it was going to be Melora Hardin. Can you believe?
I didn't know that. As someone who often says when you're, like, you're forced, like, what's your best film of all time? I'm looking at Paul because he's like, fucking Brendan. Back to the Future.
Yeah, but then it's what? It's Jurassic Park and it's The Goonies. Like, the movie that, like, that's the movie that made me.
Yeah. I love Back to the Future.
So. Okay, well, this show is so fun.
So
the movies that made us. It's like a movie watchers show, you know? Like, they're just fun and definitely, like, a nice thing to watch while you're having dinner or whatever. After a long day. Yeah, and so that was another Melora moment.
Can I have a Melora moment?
Okay, yeah. I love this for us.
Melora moment.
She sells candles on Instagram.
Are you sure, though?
Yeah.
For real, though? because that's a whole joke in The Office.
Oh, really?
Which you would know if you fucking watched it. You think you know Melora Hardin. You don't know. If you don't know her as Jan, you don't know her at all.
I don't.
Can I have a Melora moment?
Yeah.
Did you know she passed the bar in Massachusetts?
Good for you, honey. Look at Melora.
I made that
That's not true.
This is like a two truths and a lie. This is what Melora moment has become. I think you've really derailed this and it's disrespectful to the patron saint.
Fuck you, Brennan.
But the candles thing, okay, interesting. She makes Serenity by Jan is a thing in in The Office. She quits her job and makes candles. Please do me a favor. You guys have to watch The Dinner Party, the episode of The Office, The Dinner Party. It's like her.
That one is.
Her yeah. Everest. Like, oh, it's not that. It's her conquering Everest. She's so good.
I love Melora.
Please watch it. Please. It's so funny.
All right, so that's another tenuous swap episode of the Swapcast podcast. Make sure you review us on iTunes if you don't want to be a DPW, which is a dehydrated poop worm. You'll also prevent yourself from becoming a piece of shit on the ground. So you got both benefits there if you review us on iTunes. So make sure you do that. And our next episode, it will be a review of Monkey Bone, so look out for that one. Brendan?
Get vaccinated.
Ooh, controversial. Much? No, yeah, definitely.
Like, I haven't yet, but...
If you can, do.
If you can, do. Yes.
It opens up tomorrow.
Tell me how it goes.
We got to get on the...
Lucy?
What, am I doing advice?
You can do anything, really.
I'm drinking some kombucha. I'm drinking some kombucha right now. It's in my hand. That's good for the gut. Good, heal your gut. This is a new thing we're doing. Buy Melora's candles.
All right. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Too Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.